Okay, this section is going to be a comparison of Adam and Christ. So let's review to get the overview of Romans, because we're switching sections this morning. First, we'll look at an outline of the whole book of Romans so we can get back to where we were. First, we had the doctrinal section. We're still in that section, of course. It goes from chapter 1 through chapter 8. And you can label that the faith section, because it talks about faith in two different contexts. First, it talks about faith in the justification of the sinner in 1:1 through 5:11. And we're starting 5:12 this morning, and that starts the sanctification of the saint. And that, of course, is growing in your Christian life. So we're on the last part of the doctrinal section. When we finish that, we'll get to the dispensational section, or the section that deals with nation Israel. And you can label that one hope. And that breaks down into three subsections. First, Israel's past. And Israel's past is chosen. That's chapter 9. Chapter 10 is Israel's present, and Israel is presently set aside. Israel's future is chapter 11, and that will be restored. And we'll have to go to Revelation for some of that. And then once we finish chapter 11, we hit what's called the biggest therefore in the New Testament, and it talks about practicing God's righteousness, or being in fellowship with God. That's 12:1 through 15:13. And then Paul's plans and final greetings, 15:14 through 16:24. And I love chapter 16 of the book of Romans. And we'll see why I say that when we get there. Now, we're starting with the sanctification of the saint in 5:12 through 21. Let's do a little introduction to that section, and we'll talk about two families here. First, let's read the section. 5:12 through 17 is what we're going to be looking at this morning. And in Romans 5:12, it says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift of, by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So we're talking two families here, kind of a spiritual genetics type of a section, because every person is either in the Adam family or in the Christ family, and every person's characteristics are determined by which family he or she is in. The characteristics of the Adam family, 5:19a, is sin. 5:19a reads, "For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Now, the characteristics of the Christ family are in 5:19b, where it says, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Now, so Adam's family is the entire race. We're all born into Adam's family. If we believe the gospel message later than that, we will be moved to Christ's family. So that's believers. 5:17 says, for if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Adam's family characteristically is sin, 19a, death, 5:12, and condemnation, 5:16. 19a says sin, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. 5:12, the reign of death. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men, because all sin. In condemnation, 5:16 says, the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. So the free gift results in justification. Now the characteristics of Christ's family then are righteousness, 5:19b, where it says, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. And the many in that section talks about believers, doesn't it? Then reign of life, 17b, much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And the last characteristic of a believer is grace, 5:21. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're going to find out as we go through this section, there's going to be several issues involved in this section. And they make this a difficult passage. Or we're going to have the time issue, and we'll get to these in a moment. The union issue and the much more issue, which is the one Paul will concentrate on. Much more in terms of time. 1 Corinthians 15:24-26. Then in terms of effectiveness. And all this is saying is that the death of Christ on the cross brought about much more than the sinfulness of Adam. In terms of time, in terms of effectiveness, and in terms of territory covered. In Romans 5:12 and Colossians 1:20. Again, we'll get to those. So first, let's look at the time issue. Adam sinned, we sinned. Isn't that what it says in the text? That through one, the many were made sinful, or sin entered the world through one, and along with sin, death. So we have a time issue involved. When Adam sinned, we sinned. Well, where were you when Adam sinned? And we have to ask, if Adam sinned, we sinned. Well, I wasn't even born yet. So how can that be? Well, sometimes God goes outside of time. And we've looked at this before. God can work outside of time. He's not limited by time. In fact, he invented time. And the same principle applies in Galatians 2:20. When Christ died, I died. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So God went out of time, outside of time there too. Hebrews 7:9, it says, so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes. So Levi paid tithes, but in the context he's talking about in Hebrews 7:9, Levi wasn't born yet. Again, so you could call this prenatal tithing. And Romans 5:12 is an announcement from God. So Paul's train of thought, it's kind of convoluted here, but just as an outline, we'll give Paul's train of thought. First thing he does, he resumes the parallel between Adam and Christ that he began back in verse 12. In verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Now he interrupts himself for an explanation in 13 and 14, where he says, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. And that's quite simple, isn't it? It's I always use the expression of the stop sign, or the illustration of the stop sign that was outside of Bethaven Church. And, you know, there's a law on the book somewhere that says traffic has to stop here. But what if somebody came and stole the sign? Now, would that still be illegal? Yeah, because there's something on the book somewhere that says it is. But is it enforced? No, they wouldn't enforce it because there's no sign. And that's 13 and 14. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. But something gives us a clue that sin was present. And what's that? Verse 14 tells us, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses. So death reigned. Where did death come from? Through Adam, through sin. So death reigned from Adam to Moses, and there was no law from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So that's the explanation. The contrast is in 15 through 17. But the free gift, now we were talking about death reigning from Adam to Moses. Now we got the free gift is not like the transgression. For by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more, and that's kind of our key phrase in this section, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, Much more, again, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So we have, resuming the parallel between Adam and Christ in 12, and then interrupted by the explanation in 13 and 14, and the contrast in 15 through 17. The free gift is the contrast. So, we have through the one trespass, and that is of Adam. Through the one act of righteousness, and that will of Christ. And the first unto all men in verse 12, where it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And the contrast, of course, we just noted that the free gift is not like the transgression. So we have the union issue next. First, we were linked to Adam. And we saw that in 5:19. So we are in union with Adam. We're linked to Adam. We were. If we're believers, we are linked to Christ. Ephesians 2. If you look at Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 4, it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in this sense, Christ is like Adam. Now, in verses 14 and 15, don't take this comparison too far. You know, yes, Christ and Adam had some characteristics in common, but we can't take that too far. Look at 14. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam till Moses, even over those who had not sinned, in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by his grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. So, yes, there's a comparison to be made here, but don't take it too far. There's the difference is much more in 5:15. We just read that. Now, suppose it's raining, and it may be raining, Mark, and you see a blade of grass flies onto the windshield, and a little drop of rain is working its way down the windshield, and it hits the blade of grass and stops. That's just like the Hoover Dam, isn't it? Well, now, wait a minute. Yeah, it's like the Hoover Dam, but much more. So the logic is this. Christ is much more powerful to save than Adam is to ruin. Much more powerful. We will see many, much more issues in this section. Much more in terms of time. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 26. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 says, "Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death." In Revelation 11:15, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." So the times are, the last enemy to be abolished is death. That brings an end to a time. But Jesus Christ will reign forever and ever. Much more in terms of effectiveness. 2 Timothy 1, 9 through 10. 2 Timothy 1, 9 reads, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So much more effective. Much more in terms of territory covered. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." And Colossians 1:20 says, "And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." So territory covered by Adam's sin is just earth. But reconciliation, which made peace through the blood of his cross, is effective over things on earth or things in heaven. Now let's look at the context of this. This section goes on through verse 21. And again, this is a difficult portion of the epistle. It's packed with close reasoning and theological terminology. And we've been talking about justification by faith alone. And that started clear back in 3:21 to 31. 3:21 says, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all sin and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." So he starts out talking about justification or salvation by faith alone, clear back in 3:21. And then in chapter 4, Paul shows that not only is this the case now, when I say now, I mean when he's writing, it always has been and always will be. So it's always a gift of grace through faith. And he does this showing that justification is by faith alone by using the example of Abraham in chapter 4. Chapter 4, 1 says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Now, we have universal applicability of justification. And 5:12 through 21, Paul's going to explain justification by faith alone. And this section answers a very important question. And sometimes when we're reading along, we just read over this and kind of, it's like kind of a throwaway thing, you know, this question. The question is, how does it come about that all men, with no exception but Jesus Christ, are in fact sinners? How does that come about? Well, 5:12 through 21 is going to answer this question. And in answer, Paul goes all the way back to the first man, Adam, to affirm that what he did has affected the whole of mankind. That involves everyone in sin and death. But over this record of disaster and loss, he puts the countermeasures taken on behalf of the race by another man, Jesus Christ, of which all are potential beneficiaries. Remember in 5:1, we were told that believers have peace with God. And all one has to do to become a believer is to believe. That is the gospel. Believe the gospel. So we, believers, not only have salvation in the sense of being declared righteous, we're also saved from God's wrath. And being saved from God's wrath is based on justification. 5:9 said, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." So being justified by faith is still the key to understanding this passage. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer enemies of God. And again here, there are two aspects of our justification. The human aspect is faith. What does it say? Justified out of faith. The divine aspect is by his blood. So we're also saved from God's wrath as part of this justification package, you might call it. You know, we talk about God's wrath in several aspects. God's wrath in the present. John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Now, he says, does not obey here. does not obey the Son. Does not obey is the Greek word apatheo, and it's a synonym of the word used for believes, and that's pistuo. And in our literature, that is biblical literature, disobedience is always towards God, always. So God's wrath is not only something that is yet to come, although it has a future aspect as well, but God's wrath rests on unbelievers now. And yet, there is an aspect of God's wrath that we look at, and that is God's wrath that is yet to come. That's Revelation 6:16. So when the church age will come to an end, when Christ returns to get his church, that's what we call the rapture of the church. And what's that followed by? The great tribulation. And during this time, the wrath of God is pictured as seal judgments, trumpet judgments, and bowl judgments during the great tribulation. Now, I always like to point this out. It really doesn't have anything really to do with what we're looking at today, but those three judgments or three evidence of God's wrath, the trumpets or the seals, the trumpets and the bowls, actually, they're all seal judgments. And this is kind of interesting. I always found this interesting that if you take the seals, the first four seals are, of course, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The seventh seal is the trumpets. So the trumpets aren't outside of the seals. They are number seven in the seals. And then we have the trumpets, which is seal number seven. And the last three trumpets are what we call the woe judgments. And the seventh trumpet is the bowls. Revelation 15 and 16. And after the bowls, of course, is the second coming. So this seals, trumpets, and bowls is really one judgment. The seals and the trumpets and bowls are included with that. I always found that interesting. The word with, or pros, is a preposition expressing direction or in the direction of or face to face. That in 2 John verse 12, it says, though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak stoma prostoma, so that your joy may be made full. Now, stoma prostoma is face to face. That's our pros again. Literally, it's mouth to mouth. Stoma is mouth. So, we can stand face to face with the God of the universe because of our union with Christ. Now, a comparison of Christ and Adam. The one man through whom sin entered the world isn't immediately named. Look at verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now it just says one man there and doesn't tell us who it is. But verse 14 does. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now, a type, or types, is the Greek word tupos. Tupos are occurrences given by God as an indication of the future. Now, so in the Old Testament, you can see types, and they give us an indication of the future. And the same procedure is followed with the other man to be considered. He's called a man before he's named. He's named in verse 15, where it says, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. So we can sum this up just by saying that there are similarities between Christ and Adam. But don't take that too far. And we will pick up there next week. Father, thank you for your word. Father, I want to personally thank you for my flock this morning. They're the most wonderful, generous flock of believers I've ever seen. And I thank you, Father, for that. In Christ's name, amen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
Don't worry, let me get myself turned on here.
You can't quit sharing screen?
Hang on.
Okay.
Okay. No questions? Go ahead.
Just away all of that, especially the part about tying sin to the law, and then what about before the law, and so on. But, but the bottom line is certainly clear.
Yeah. It's kind of a confusing little section, isn't it?
Yeah.
I found it so, anyway.
Well, I do too.
But if you take it in the broader sense, it is. Easy to understand. I mean, we have two people. One brought sin and one brought grace. But you can't take the comparison too far.
Yeah, I just view it as an explanation of the mechanics.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it, John.
I think the bottom line message to support this clear, especially since it's repeated throughout the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, there's really no mistaking that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there are some words in there that we need to go over, and we will. We'll get to them, like redemption.
Yeah.
and so forth.
Yeah, on the word redemption, my recollection that you talked about was, I don't know if it was all of it or a big part of it, was the ability to be free from the power of sin.
Yeah. It's so redemption. The word redemption means to buy out of the marketplace. And that's what Christ did. He bought us out of sin.
And so the takeaway, if I got this right, was simply that we're no longer slaves to sin.
Right. Right. I saw, it's like before we were believers. This is our will and this is the sin nature. They're locked together. You can't get away from it. But the cross broke that for believers. Now you can still follow it around like you did before, but you don't have to anymore.
Exactly. And that's been one of the big takeaways for me. After becoming a believer, was I could say no. I could say yes, which I could not do before. I can always grit your teeth and try hard not to do this or that or the other thing, but your effort only goes so far.
Yeah, right, you can. So. Yeah.
Well, just wanted to let you know we lost cell contact with you in the hills back here.
Okay.
We didn't chip off because the teaching was bad, but I like the teaching. So,
okay, I'll put it up on the internet, Mark.
Yeah, well, we'll get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, have a good week. We'll see you on the Wednesday, then.
Okay, Mark, you guys drive safely now.
Yeah. Short of Colorado, so that's Julesburg for people in the